On today's episode of the Pop Off Pod, we are talking NFL for the majority of the pod. Me, Mike Cerrone, Bordy, and Petey. It's a great episode. Really had a lot of fun with this one. And then at the end, we do an all-time tight ends draft. You'll be absolutely shocked by a few of our picks. And then we have an On This Day in History as well, which is a segment that we'll be doing moving forward with this group of guys. So let's just get right to the show. This is a really fun one. Thank you guys for listening. And it's the best birthday present that I could have imagined. So let's get right to it. What's good? Welcome back to the Pop Off Podcast, a conversation show about the NFL divisional round. I am Ralph Campiano. I am your host, and I have watched football for the last 7 hours of my life. And now I'm going to talk about it with three of my best friends in the entire world. It is my birthday. I can't imagine a better birthday gift than this. I have Mike Cerrone, my co-host on the Pop Off Pod, and we have our two favorite people in the world, our favorite group chat members, Bordy and Petey, and we're coming off of the Chiefs-Bills game, so we have to talk about that first because that was the real headliner of the weekend, probably the best game of the weekend with the highest stakes. Cerrone, Josh Allen crumbled once again to Patrick Mahomes. Mahomes just owns this fucking guy. What's the fucking deal here? Because we talked about it on the pre-show. If he didn't win this game, there was going to be some serious consequences. That shit was tough to watch. Like, he just absolutely it was dramatic and it was sad.
It is sad, dude. This was the best shot they had at beating the Chiefs the past, what, 3-4 years?
Yep.
Dude, it's like, I mean, there's some teams, like the 76ers can't beat the Celtics. The Ravens can't beat the Steelers. The fucking Bills can't beat the Chiefs. He fucked up, man. And they even got some crazy bullshit, like touchback. Remember when, what's his name, fumbled out of the end zone? The cards are, you know, falling their way. I mean, they just he didn't even turn it over. Josh, I don't think he had any picks or any fumbles. I don't know, man. That's just a sad – it was in Buffalo. The suicide rate in Buffalo is going to be skyrocketing. I mean, it might double within 24 hours. It'd be funny to see like that, you know, what's that Logic suicide song with like the number? I bet the streams of that song, I bet the streams of that song in Buffalo are through the roof right now. I don't know, man. That's just one of the worst losses I've seen all year at home.
Yeah. Against, it's fucking like brutal, Bruce. Man. Yeah. It reminds no me of at all. Petey, it reminds me of like this, you remember the Rockets and the Warriors when KD went down, Clay went down, and it was just like Steph and Draymond out there. I think it was 2017 or 2018, and it's like, oh, the Rockets finally have a chance. Literally. They built a team to beat the Warriors, and they just fucking crumble.
No defense, bro.
Insane. Like, they have no defense whatsoever. But, Petey, were you impressed with the Chiefs, or are you just more like, the Bills fucking suck?
The Chiefs were unreal, dude. Mahomes is always doing that. He's always fucking up Josh Allen. Josh Allen is honestly playing like such a fat fucking pussy tonight, though. My God, if you're being a fat fuck out there. No, dude, they're so good, man. But, dude, Josh Allen, I did not know this, but he is so fucking big. He's literally 2 inches taller than Fred Warner and 8 pounds heavier than one of the best linebackers in the league.
I don't think he's fat,
it breaks
though.
My heart to see.
No, he's
not fat. No, he's not fat. No, he's not fat at all.
I think technically in the U.S. statistic, he's probably obese. I think he's technically obese, but...
He might be. He very well could be.
I mean, he had that rushing touchdown where he trucked a D lineman, a linebacker, and a corner all at once. It was insane. It was like Bordy taking down a chicken parm, a meatball sub, and a slice of pizza at the same time. Bordy.
That's just any other Sunday for me and Josh Allen.
The Chiefs, who impressed you the most tonight? Was it Mahomes? Was it Kelsey? Was it the defense coming up with crucial stops? Or just Andy Reid out-coaching McDermott?
Definitely not Mecole Hardman, who fumbled on his two receptions. But I think Mahomes pressed me the most, you know, he just turns on that playoff mode and he doesn't look as like scared and lost. He looks like he's an orchestrator. He looks like, he's conducting a symphony out there, even with the likes of MVS and Mecole Hardman and, Noah Gray. So, I mean, how about the return of Kelsey in Buffalo, his brother in the box, just going crazy. So, I said a week ago, it's wrong to count out the Chiefs. You know, you can never. They've been to every AFC championship since Mahomes.
Did you guys see Jason up there with his fucking shirt off.
Yeah, he killed it.
For anyone that wasn't in that box that doesn't know who Jason Kelce is, they just see this guy over there like, who the fuck is that psycho?
I think everybody in that box knows who he is.
It's Donna Kelsey's box. Like, it's their family box with Taylor Swift. But at the same time, like, Gerard Carmichael is in there and, like, Cara Delevingne. And they're like, I've never been around this much, like, masculinity. Like, we're actors. Like, we exist, like, in a world where, like, the most masculine person I've ever met is Brad Pitt, and like, he's been shaving his like body since he was 15. And like, then you run into Jason Kelce, who's just a real life bear turned into a human. What was your funny point though, Cerrone?
Oh, well, first of all, I think I can legitimately, or God, I butchered that word. I think I can legitimately, I could floss all 37 of my teeth with his chest hair, with Jason Kelce's chest hair. Besides the point, one of the worst play calls in the past, I don't know, 20 years, they ran a fake punt and gave it to a guy who died last year on the field. You can't. Now, listen, Cinderella story, he makes that. It's unbelievable. On your own 30, crucial point of the game, give it to the, don't give it to the poor guy who died last year on the field. The poor kid is probably shaking in his boots. You know, they call him up like, yeah, man, we're going to run a fake on our own 30. Let's give it to the guy who met Jesus less than a year ago. What are you doing? And we called it, Ralph. We called it. Andy Reid's going to out-coach McDermott. And to be honest with you, Josh Allen might be obese, but he didn't play that bad. Kind of played like a dog.
No.
But, yeah, no. That was the turning point, man.
But he wasn't spectacular, and that's the issue, is that he was airing it out. He had a few of those deep balls, though, that looked so good. It hit the receivers right in the hands, and Diggs couldn't come up with it. We talked about Trent Sherfield in the group chat.
Yeah.
We're like, Sherfield's the kind of guy, Petey and Bordy, like, in our Madden league, like, we want him because he's like a 95 speed, and you can throw a go ball to him in perfect weather conditions. But when it's 15 degrees out in Buffalo and the game is on the line, I'm not throwing it to that fucking guy because it's just going right through his hands. Like, they literally hit him in the hands twice, breadbasket tosses, and they were beautiful balls by Josh, but he doesn't have the receivers to go out and get them. Mahomes, on the other hand, also wasn't spectacular, quote-unquote. He only had 215 yards, but he was hyper-efficient. He was 17 of 23 on his attempts, two touchdowns, and like Bordy said, Kelsey's return, man. Cerrone, we talked about it on the pod last week. He just dominates Buffalo, especially with Milano out of there, Bernard out of there, taking advantage of the linebackers. He had the wide open touchdown on that corner route where the safeties and corners just fucked up. And I actually had another point. We always talk about how Buffalo's Bills Mafia is like one of the more intimidating and rabid fan bases. They weren't that fucking loud tonight. Okay. Arrowhead gets way louder than Buffalo ever did tonight.
Oh, wait till we talk about the Ravens and the bank.
Yeah, they're.
We'll save that for later.
That's just another word for the fatter and more disgusting fans. Is who's the, like, who's fat and gross and works at the steel mill in town.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Who's fatter and just ugly as fuck.
I'm ugly as shit.
I bet there wasn't one female over a 6.5 in that whole stadium.
No, not a chance in hell.
Besides Taylor.
What? And she's barely a 7.
They're ripping so much ass in Buffalo. I think Buffalo might be the biggest ass ripping city there possibly is, dude.
I think they were just farting. Are they just farting all game?
They're ripping so much ass up there.
If you had to put a line on farts in that stadium over the course of kickoff to, you know, the clock 000, what would the line be?
Let's see how many fans there are. I bet there's 60,000 fans, right? So let's do math.
I'll go average 2 farts per fan.
I was going to say 2.5 farts per fan.
Yeah. 2 fart per fan. There's probably close to 60,000 people
in that stadium. Make that average 3 farts for the concession.
Yeah. I was going to say, because Kelce definitely ripped like 7 or 8 for sure.
Yeah.
With all that beer he drank.
Dude. If we're looking at 71,000 people, 71,600 people, and you have an average
over
of
100,000
farts, then you're looking at over 200,000 farts.
We gotta
that place has to smell like absolute ass.
Elevator, ladies.
No. And Spencer Brown.
Those are, left those tackle. Are pungent like, ones, too.
I was thinking every time that Stephon Diggs caught the ball, he was shitting himself. Like, there's no burst to Stephon Diggs anymore. Somebody tweeted out a graphic. They're like, Stephon Diggs since Thanksgiving. And it was a picture of Dez Bryant in the Baltimore Ravens uniform. It was, like, way past his prime Dez. But one person that we haven't mentioned that we need to talk about really quick is Pacheco. Because this is now two games in a row where he's looked like the second best running back in the league. Like, he's averaging 6.5 yards a carry, almost 100 yards. McCaffrey's number one. You could probably argue Gibbs is number two, Saquon, that kind of area. But Pacheco just runs so fucking hard in this cold weather. And he might not be the best running back in October and November when it's perfect conditions. But when it gets to freezing temperatures, I'm not sure if I want a lot of other running backs.
I bet you when Pacheco farts, it comes out of his ass at 100 miles per hour. Just angry, too.
We're staying on the fart topic. Viv was trying to get away from it. No, one last point on the fart topic. Creed Humphrey definitely rips the most disgusting ass I've ever seen in my life. That dude is so goddamn fucking ugly, dude. Creed, if you don't know who Creed Humphrey is, go look up a picture of Creed Humphrey and look me in the eyes and tell me that guy's not ripping serious fucking beef. All right, that's it. I'm done with the fart.
I think we'll return to the farts at some point in one of the other games. I'm not going to spoil which one it is. But, yeah, Creed Humphrey is definitely tearing serious beef. But can we stay on Pacheco for a second? Because am I wrong, Bordy? Is that an overstatement to say that he's one of the five best running backs in the league? Like, would you rather – how many other running backs would you hand the ball off to in the middle of January than him right now?
Yeah, he runs like that. He runs like a mental middle schooler. You know what I mean? But it's productive. He's a tough son of a gun, you know. Nobody gets off the ground faster than Pacheco after he's tackled, you know. And I just love seeing that out of a running back. Like, nothing worse than a guy that just lays there and, like, needs two offensive linemen to get up. Like, no, I want him to pop off the ground like a fucking pop socket and run back so you don't get subbed out, you know.
Pacheco runs like he pees at the urinal with his pants around his ankles. I've said that before, and I don't think it hasn't been proved wrong yet. I don't think anybody's actually ever seen him pee at a urinal, but
he's scary. It's like every step that he takes, it's like he's angry at the ground. It's just pounding it into it. It's like the cleats digging into the turf, like they're leaving holes behind and like serious dents. There's nothing like, you know, that Pacheco was on that turf versus any other running back. All right, let's move to the Chiefs defense because they didn't have Chris Jones tonight. So to go into Buffalo and win this game without Chris Jones is really impressive. And it's just one of those situations where I'm looking at them and they don't have, you know, a 2016 Khalil Mack or a 2023 Micah Parsons. It's just they're pretty solid at every position. I don't want to preview the game too much, but what's your guys' confidence level in the Chiefs defense after watching what they did to a mobile quarterback tonight and Josh Allen and what they're going to have to do against Lamar next week? Do you think that they can hold Baltimore to 24, 21 points like they did Buffalo and then the Chiefs can go out and get 27? Or do you think that Buffalo is just maybe not as efficient of an offense as Baltimore?
Spags always has one trick up his sleeve, you know? Like, he's just an old, wily, horny guy.
Can definitely back that up. He's definitely horny. Your last name is Spagnuolo. You were definitely horny. There's just not a doubt. I thought Chris Jones played.
Yeah, tonight. I was going to say Chris Jones had a SWAT tonight.
But it wasn't like every snap he was like hurting played. It wasn't like Chris Jones is playing 80% of the snaps. Like, okay. I mean, how many times do you hear Chris Jones' name on the broadcast? Like, it wasn't he wasn't Aaron Donald tonight, which is what he
was. Was that because of an injury? Tackle behind
him. Yes. I can't remember exactly what it is. I'll look into it.
Because Big Connor cover pulling down the middle Buffalo.
So, Ronnie, what's your confidence level as a Baltimore fan knowing you have to go against this Kansas City team?
Very high. I looked at the line before the podcast started. It's at 3.5. I will confidently take the Ravens minus 10. Coming to the bank, the Chiefs are – they're Rashee Rice, their receivers, Valdez-Scantling, Kelsey. I mean, dude, they're – with Queen and Rowe as linebackers, as little treacherous twins over there in the middle – I think they get exposed big time. I think Lamar doesn't run all over. He doesn't rush for 100 yards. I would take the under in his rushing. I maybe, you know, 15, 20 yards, but I was watching that game rooting for the Chiefs because I didn't want to play the Bills. And especially if Chris Jones isn't going to be playing, you know, every snap, I'm very confident in the Ravens offense. And the Chiefs defense, they played decent, but the Chiefs should, like, if Bass makes that field goal, I think it goes to the OT and the Bills win that game. Chiefs should not be in the AFC championship. And everything went, he fumbled it. They somehow recovered it. I think the Bills should have won that game. So I'm not that worried. I think 3.5 in the initial line is disrespectful to come to the bank and play the Ravens, who should have pretty much won 34-3 against the Texans. Again, we'll talk about that game later. But very confident. I'm actually confident against the Chiefs and the Texans.
Let's move it up. Let's talk about the Ravens and Texans now, because you're right. The Ravens defense only allowed 3 points. Their special teams gave up the punt return touchdown to that Stephen Sims.
It was absurd.
And I know that the Texans aren't like the – they might not be the Chiefs in our minds, but the Chiefs in our minds this year is different, right? So Stroud had like one of the hottest seasons the rookie quarterback has ever had. You would think that if there was any offense that could pick apart this Ravens defense, it would be a passing-heavy offense because, you know, Humphrey was out this weekend and they're relying on their other cornerbacks. But it just didn't matter. They couldn't make anything happen. Petey, what was your biggest thing watching the Ravens defense? Was it, you know, Roquan just flying all over the field? Was it the pressure that they're generating on Stroud? Even when they're not getting sacks, they're still generating pressure. You have a sideways hat on. I'm sure it's going to be some kind of blitzing scheme here that you love. or was the turnovers that they were able to force?
Yeah, I mean, the Ravens are just unbelievable on defense. Roquan's an absolute psycho. Geno Stone's a psycho. Their whole secondary is fucking nuts. But I'm honestly not as confident as Cerrone. And I'm a huge Lamar fan. Hand up, fucking love Lamar so much. Even though I gun his ass all the goddamn time. Easily has the lowest ACT score in the NFL, hands down, even though he probably didn't even take the fucking ACT.
He couldn't spell ACT if he spotted an A and T. But continue.
But, yeah, okay, enough of the jokes. I'm not as confident. Like, Mahomes' magic is real. We saw it tonight. He's an absolute fucking dog. He's been in the Super Bowl. If he makes it to the Super Bowl this year, it'll be four of the past 5 years. I put him in the probably top – I mean, he's definitely a top 10 quarterback of all time. I probably put him in the 5-6 slot. I'm definitely more scared than Cerrone is, but – I love Lamar, and I hope the Ravens win because Lamar is a fucking boy.
I think it just
simple as that.
It comes down to this Ravens defense. I don't think the Chiefs offense stacks up well against them. Bottom line, it's too well polished of a unit. With you know, they got five guys in the secondary, no burger shop, and two studs in the middle, and the D line really rushes you. So Mahomes is gonna have to pull some tricks.
Just real quick, Lamar, 2 rushing touchdowns, 2 throwing. 100 rushing yards wasn't even the highlight of that game. Again, just reiterating how suffocating that defense is. And I talked about this before, because the defense only gave up 3 points. If we're only giving up 3 points, if we only have to score 4 points to win a fucking game, we're going to win the game. Two. Oh, that goes in the second point. The star of that game was the defense. And three, I'll mention this. It even makes more of a difference from that last game. You saw the Packers almost beat the 49ers, missed field goal. Bills should have very well tied that game, went to overtime, won that game, missed field goal. Justin Tucker, being our kicker, being one of the best kickers of all time, being maybe the GOAT or, you know, Vinatieri, it's a toss-up. That is such a crucial part going deep into the playoffs, AFC Championship, Super Bowl, is to have a kicker you could trust with a gun, with a bullet to your head. It's very underrated.
We're 70 yards away. Yeah, just send Tucker in.
And he's going to launch one. He's going to kick it, launch one. And you see teams crumble and lose, the Bills, the Packers, because of these weird kicks. And there's no kicker I trust more in the league than Justin Tucker. And again, if our defense just plays like that and Lamar doesn't turn the ball over, there's no way. Yes, the Chiefs, Kelce scares me a little bit because he's on one now. Andy Reid scares me. But our coach is just as good. McDermott got outcoached. The second half adjustments that Harbaugh made after going in the half 10-10 to come out and put up 24 straight and give up zero. I mean, dude, I'm just so confident. I think 3.5 at coming to the bank, the crap we caused, I think it was 5 or 6 false starts, 2 delay games. This is where we make our mark. We go to the Super Bowl, and then yeah, that's a whole different conversation, whether it's San Fran or Detroit, which I'm not war. I mean, we smoked San Fran, and the only chance San Fran had was they tripped Lamar in the fucking end zone. We smoked Detroit 39-3. This is our fucking year. It's ours to blow, but I'm feeling
it's ours to blow. I have an analogy that I need to make because my fifth graders played basketball this weekend, right? And we played against 2 teams on Saturday that were below our competition level, and we beat both of them by 25 or 30 points. Their defense was remarkably bad, and our offense looked amazing. I was like, damn, we look good this weekend. I wonder what it is. Then this morning we played at 8 a.m. I'm hungover as hell on the sideline, and I'm feeling pretty confident because my guys played really well on Saturday. We play against a team that's been playing together for about 4 or 5 years, and they're fucking good. And they blew the doors off of us by about 45 this morning at 8 a.m. I have a Starbucks in my hand and a bottle of water just trying to nurse this hangover.
Yeah, we got fucked up.
We got fucked up. Now, the analogy here is that the Chiefs have played against 2 injury-riddled defenses and the Dolphins and the Bills in their first 2 rounds of the playoffs. Dolphins were missing Jalen Phillips, Bradley Chubb. Jalen Ramsey was a shell of himself. Javon Holland looked like he wanted to be in a homeless shelter instead of in Arrowhead. It was depressing watching that defense play. Then they play against Buffalo, who's been missing Trey White pretty much all year, Matt Milano, Bernard, who's a stud, and then Poyer and Hyde don't look like the same safeties they were a few years ago, and then obviously Von Miller's also a shell of himself. Those are the 2 teams that I played on Saturday. They're going to run into a team like the team I played at 8 a.m. this morning, hungover, in the Baltimore defense. It is a totally different beast. They don't have any serious injuries. Humphrey's going to be back next week. You have Roquan and Queen in the center of it. They're going to be able to, I think, maybe not take away Kelce entirely, but it's not like he had 12 catches tonight like I thought he would. He had 5 receptions, and one of the touchdowns was just a coverage bust, really. Yeah. I don't think that's going to happen in Baltimore. And to your point about Harbaugh, the Ravens have some Harbaugh magic cooking right now. Did you guys see that video of John before?
The culture.
I mean, he comes in and he sees Josh Johnson, the backup quarterback, and he gives him the weirdest hug in the world in the tunnel. And then after the game, Jack Harbaugh, their dad, comes in and he does the, "Who's got it better than us?" And they reply, "Nobody." And they just have this fire and intensity that I think Buffalo lacks. I really do. I think that it's kind of fake.
How nuts would it be if Jim won the Natty and John won the Super Bowl the same year? I feel like that hasn't been touched on by anybody.
I've been thinking that all week. Like, Jim and John, they're fucking knocking it out this year. Crazy shit happens, dude. Like, I think it's going to
happen. Each other in the Super Bowl, or coach against each other in the Super Bowl. If they pulled this off, that'd be some fucking All in the Family, like, probably top 3 families. Them, the Harbaughs, the Kardashians, and then who's at 3?
The James family. Yeah, Bryce and Bronny. And then, yeah, the Campianos is tied for 3rd with the James family. And then just looking at the Texans. The Texans rushing stats, Cerrone.
Yeah,
38 total rushing yards for the Texans this weekend. That's unheard of. Yeah, dude, like, you got to be able to run the ball against Baltimore.
How good. Suffocating, dude. Suffocating. And people don't realize this, too. I mean, I played like 3 years of football. Roquan Smith and yeah, I played dog shit, right? Like, this was like in fucking high school, like freshman year. Dude, if you get hit over and over and over by Queen, by Roquan, you're a little bit of your soul. Like, you don't want to run as hard. Like, Pacheco is a beast, I get it, but he's going to get fucking rocked over and over. And it does affect how you like play, and you see it in players. But yeah, dude, they're just so fucking tough. I mean, talk about this second coming of Ray Lewis with Roquan Smith and Queen. Yeah. I think they're soft. Like, if Roquan Smith hits MVS, Valdez Scantling, enough times, that's going to be in the back of his head when he runs a seam or a crossing route or a slant.
Ravens definitely keep a tub, a hot thermos of country gravy on the sidelines. That's what's fueling him.
Mm-hmm. I think that Roquan Smith might hit Marquez Valdes-Scantling so hard he might just turn gay right in the middle of the game. Just not go back. He just might literally hit him so goddamn
just
hard.
Just turn into Ace Ventura just, like right after a play. They're like, all righty then.
Yep. Midway through the game, he just turns
just
gay.
Just knock the heterosexual on him. I could see it. Yes. I could see it. That wouldn't surprise me at all.
I think so.
There's another team that will knock the heterosexual out of you, and that's the San Francisco 49ers. They played Green Bay, and they won 24-21. Now, I want to say it like that because I wasn't anticipating a blowout by any means, but the fact that this came down to a McCaffrey rushing touchdown with a minute left was honestly kind of amazing to me. The Packers seemed like they were in control of the game for the majority of the second half. And we look at the San Francisco team, and Cerrone, you touched on it, bringing up how Baltimore just fucked them up, quite frankly. They look more breakable than ever. And where is your confidence level right now, Bordy, with a team that we were celebrating so much the first 11, 12 weeks of the season, where we were talking about them like they're fucking unbeatable. They have the most blue chip guys in the entire NFL. They don't look like that same. And if they don't have Debo, that's another conversation. But where's your confidence level with San Francisco?
I think it's high going into this week at home against Detroit. I think they stack up well against Detroit. LaFleur, obviously, a Shanahan prodigy. That's a tough game, kind of facing your apprentice. But I'm still confident in the Niners, you know. Purdy's play has wavered. He is kind of a fucking pussy. And you could just see it in his eyes sometimes, like, it's a little shaky back there under pressure, and he's been gifted with one of the best offensive lines in the league. And when that breaks down, he kind of breaks down with it. So it'll be interesting to see Debo's health going into this one. Is it going to be sassy Brandon Ayuk again, or can you get his morale back up? But when in doubt, just feed Kittle. That dude's the fucking man. And I wish they fed him more because I'm tired of him not getting the same respect as the GOATs.
I wanted to prompt Petey next with a Brock Purdy being a pussy point, but Petey, I'll give you got 2 minutes max to just air out your thoughts on Brock Purdy and why he might be a fraud.
Right, well, my very first thought is there's no way in hell Brock Purdy has ever had sex in doggy style. Not a fucking hell he's ever had sex. I honestly feel bad for any girl that has to go to bed with Brock Purdy because that has to be the most fucking boring shit I've ever seen in my life. This guy is such a goddamn pussy. Okay, no, this is too bad.
No,
too
you're
far.
Good. Keep but going.
There were pictures of him on Twitter, like going to like a middle school and like reciting Bible verses to like middle schoolers. Like how handle there? You know, I've been a Catholic my entire life. Thank you, Mom and Dad, for sending me to Catholic school. But how big of a fucking pussy do you have to be in your free time to go to a middle school and start preaching? Like, dude, come on, man. What are we doing? That's terrible of me to say, but, I mean, like, come on, man. And the worst part about it, he was wearing fucking buckle jeans the entire time. Could not be taken seriously.
Does he have a girlfriend yet? Or, like,
I don't know.
He does.
I think he still has a roommate.
He's not.
And I don't think the roommate is his girlfriend.
Like, he's still bunking it with some other homo.
I think I saw a picture of his girl. She's not, like, insanely hot. Whereas he could probably get what I mean,
probably his
way
cousin.
Fucking hotter. Could be his cousin.
But if she's not a rocket, she doesn't look like Ashley from Detroit. Is that what you're saying, Cerrone?
No. Yeah, Ashley from Detroit's hotter. And with Brock Purdy, like if he would imagine if Brock Purdy was just an asshole, he could bang anybody he ever wanted.
I'd be way happier with them. I mean, they were doing a no drip off on the two social media accounts between the Packers and Niners. They were like, you wish your quarterback didn't have this much drip. And it was Jordan Love walking in like a flannel and a t-shirt. And I was like, that looks really boring. That looks like something I might wear. And then they showed it. Then the Niners responded. They're like, well, check out this. It's just Purdy looking even worse.
Yeah, it just looked like Carp. Looked like Ben Carpenter. Honestly, I said this in the group chat. Has anybody ever seen Brock Purdy and Carp in the same room? I haven't. Just leave it at that.
That's good.
I think Carp would beat his ass. All right, but the Niners.
Oh, 100%.
is it just me or are the off? Do the receivers not get as open in the playoffs? I feel like this happens every year where we convince ourselves in the regular season that like they get so much separation on these routes because Shanahan is such a genius. But Ayuk wasn't getting as open against the Packers, who, I mean, played really well defensively the last 2 weeks. But throughout the regular season, they were not a good defense. And I'm just watching them, like, Juwan Jennings isn't really that good of a guy. They're bringing in Chris Conley, who's, like, been out of the league, I feel like, for the longest time. And now they're relying on him on third and eights. And it seems like they're very dependent on McCaffrey. And if defenses just focus on him, that they can take that away. Now, is Detroit the right defense to take that away? I'm not sure. We can preview that a little bit more towards the end of the week when we're previewing the games. But they just seem like they're not this juggernaut anymore. They feel way more beatable than ever. And way more stoppable, too.
Yeah, I think playoff football is just different, you know? They're just more locked down. And then also in the playoffs, you know, Purdy's not – you're not just slinging away in the playoffs because in the back of your head is you're throwing a pick. It's a turnover. You're being safer. There's a lot more on the line. So I feel like people don't get, as open. But everything is just more locked down. Everybody, just the level of play is way higher. Like you're just not going to get – I mean, with Debo out, I get it, but – yeah, everything's just way more – just the level of talent is way higher. It's not many open receivers.
No, I love the point about, like, the tension with every single throw. It feels like every single throw playoffs is the end of the world. And all of these quarterbacks, like, are tightening up so much. I think that's why Mahomes is so fucking good, is because his reputation is already untouchable. We already know he's the number one quarterback. So he has this kind of liberty to, like, do whatever he wants. Like, the play tonight where he's scrambling left – he pump fakes that fucking idiot nickel and then he just to the tight end and then he just runs around him and just tight ropes down the sideline. No other quarterback is doing that. Maybe Lamar, but even then, like, there's some tension with every throw that Lamar makes because of the scrutiny on things like first take and first things first and all this shit. Like, people are always talking about, ooh, does Lamar have what it takes? They know that Mahomes has what it takes. So Mahomes plays with this almost carelessness, but it's still efficient and decisive. Whereas with Purdy, it was like, every time he dropped back, he looked like he was farting and he was like scared to, you know, rip a throw. And he, credit to him, he made a huge one to Ayuk on that slant route that ended up propelling them in the game winning drive. But yeah, what are you guys' thoughts on the Packers? They went 10-9 this year at the end of the season, one game above 500.
Good on that.
But I mean, there's like three teams, I guess, that lost this weekend, the Bucks, the Packers, and the Texans, where it's like, good for you guys. You made it way farther than anybody thought you would. And there's the Bills, who are like, you fucking idiots. Like, they got to feel so goddamn bad right now.
Yeah.
Same story for the Bills.
I think whoever wins Chiefs, Ravens, like, wholeheartedly, whoever wins that game, that's Super Bowl winner right there. There's no way in hell for what Lamar and the Ravens did to the Niners last time they played, dude, there's no way in hell that Brock Purdy is going to be able to hurdle that if he has to go up against Lamar in the Super Bowl. So, like, full-blown, I don't think that the Lions or the Niners can handle the Chiefs or the Ravens. I think that's a Super Bowl game right there.
He's taking the AFC.
100%.
I agree with that, too. I mean, we already smoked the Lions. We already smoked the 49ers. Yeah, the Super Bowl is a different, you know, beast. It's going to be a new game. But back to the Packers, they're going to be nasty. They're almost like the Texans of the NFC. I mean, with Love and that defense and Aaron Jones, I mean, good for them. Again, they weren't supposed to be there. And they almost fucking had it, man, to slip right through their fingers again with the kicker.
They had it. Pissed it down their leg.
Yeah, they're not upset right now. They're fired up. They made it farther than they should have. And if it was going to be Lions Packers for the NFC, that would just been insane.
Would have been great.
Yeah, that would have been. It would have been awesome. Nothing. They're not really that pissed. The Bills are just, you know, that's got to be one of the toughest losses I've ever seen. But, yeah, good for the Packers. Good on them. Made it way farther than they're supposed to be a rebuild year. And they almost went to the NFC Championship. So they're going to be nasty, I think, years to come.
And two other teams that have overcome expectations, the Bucks and the Lions, played this afternoon, yesterday, when people are listening to this, obviously. The Lions are now 14-5. That looks a hell of a lot better than 10-9, just looking at their overall record on the season. I have a question for Bordy that I prompted him with before you two jumped on the call. And we'll go into the actual game itself after this, but I think this is a existential crisis that I want Bordy to have on live on air right now. Bordy, would you rather have as your quarterback, as a fan of the Dallas Cowboys, Dak Prescott or Jared Goff? I gave him 45 minutes to think about it. He still doesn't have an answer.
Jared Goff. I got to take Jared Goff. I mean, the look. I mean, I didn't show up for last week's podcast because I couldn't face you guys. Just like Dak couldn't face the lights, the bright lights and the pressure. And I saw it from the first snap in his eyes. He was a defeated man. A lousy.
Fucking after admitting Jared Goff better than Dak Prescott.
And I love Dak. But just when the pressure's on, he folds. And it's just the Cowboys syndrome at this point. So I'm taking Goff. And I think your follow-up was, would you rather have Goff and Amon-Ra or CeeDee and Dak? And I'm taking Amon-Ra over CeeDee at this point. I mean,
damn. It's real, dude.
I'll take heart and determination any day of the week.
That's a hurt, man.
Amon-Ra's podcast is fire. CD's podcast would probably be like, oh, new Amiri jeans. It probably just looked like an Instagram try-on video. And, yeah, I got my Lions hat on now. I think I'm bandwagon the boys. They drafted two Hawkeyes in the draft. I love Laporta. I love Gibbs. I love Branch. Goff's just kind of, you know, the milk you got to put in so everything turns out right, you know?
I am obsessed with them. They're probably my favorite offense to watch because, like we talked about, PD, with Purdy looking scared when he drops back with the tension of every playoff throw, Goff has none of that. He's fucking fearless in the pocket. Like, it was 10-10.
It might be the same results that Purdy gets, like, talent-wise, but Goff just looks so much more confident doing it. Like, he'll do something fucking stupid. But
exactly. So, Pete, my biggest thing is, like, who do you think is the most integral player on this team? Do you think it's Gibbs, Laporta, or Amon-Ra on the offensive side of the ball? Which one of those guys is the one that really drives the offense?
It's all three.
I'm going Dan Campbell, man. He just
looks like everybody's just so scared there to go to the sideline and face that guy.
So fucking scary. I mean, he's a beast. No, I honestly think it's Gibbs, dude. I think Gibbs is fucking unreal. That 31 yard rushing touchdown today was just unbelievable, dude. What was it, tied 17-7? I mean, that play right there changed the entire trajectory of the entire game. Like, he's a fucking animal. And I was kind of hating on him. He's a fucking dog, dude. He's a little baby.
You gave up on him week one. You remember that text, Bordy? He's like, Gibbs is a bust. This was a terrible pick. He was like, just because he didn't get like 20 use him touches in the game.
Yeah, I mean, it was his usage at the beginning of the year was tough. But yeah,
bigger picture wasn't planned, man. Yeah, they had the idea that, like, we're going to need him come the playoffs. I think, Bordy, you might have said it, actually, before he got drafted. You said that he's just faster Kamara. Like, Kamara was never, like, the fastest north and south guy. He was just really elusive.
I never heard him say that. I saw a tweet today about some dude that met him at the combine. He literally said that about himself. He said,
man, that's so hard.
That's pretty
– just, like, bragging to somebody at the combine before he'd ever – had an NFL snap, and he's proved it. Like, he's on a different speed level than everybody else in the field. It's fucking hilarious to watch.
Cerrone is the only guy who didn't go to the University of Iowa on here, and you don't have an inherent bias. Laporta, best tight end in the league. We ready to say it yet?
No, Isaiah Likely.
Okay.
No, I'm kidding.
he goes with the other bias.
Not kidding. I'm kind of not kidding, but no. No, not the best tight end in the league. The best, the dude's an absolute beast. I would say top three for sure. But you can't. I mean, he's a rookie, right?
Let's settle the score here. Yeah. Let's do a tight end draft or something.
We're doing the tight end draft in a little bit.
Well, yeah, that was a perfect fucking segment or segue, Viv.
Well, we got to talk about the Bucs, too. We can't just leave Gabe out of the conversation.
Change the topic, and then let's go back to the tight end draft.
I think Laporta, Yeah, they need him. I going back to that original question, I agree with P. I think Gibbs is like he scares me a lot. It's almost like when you're rooting against the Lions, every time he touches the ball, you hold your breath. Because every time he touches the ball, it could be a touchdown. So he scares me a lot. But yeah, I mean, Laporte's a stud. Kid's fucking nasty. But I mean, yeah, he's not. I wouldn't say he's the best tight end in the league. I mean, you saw what Kelce did tonight.
Amon Ra's the top.
Kittle had a. Yep, I agree with that. I said that. We said that. I remember talking about that like week six or seven. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of good. Even Kittle balled out. I wouldn't say he's the best tight end in the league yet, but no, he's gonna. The kid's nasty. I'd say top three.
Agreed. I think Kittle and Kelce are both ahead of him. I think it's those three: Kittle, Kelce, and Laporta. Yeah,
and then Andrews if he's healthy. I mean, again, it's coming from a Ravens fan, but even if you're not a Ravens fan, Mark Andrews
led the league in receiving yards for tight ends. Yep.
Yeah, and we're doing it without Mark. And yeah, likely's been a boss, but yeah, I think you can't disregard him either. It's tough to not, you know, it's almost like when Jefferson went down. You're talking about best receivers. It's hard, you know. You don't want to mention him. He's been injured, but you know he's still there.
Yep, Kyle Pitts is definitely up there too. With Cap. All right, the Bucks. Before we get out of here, or before we move into the tight end draft, rather, Baker is a franchise quarterback. Like, if you're the Bucks, do you give him an extension?
Yes.
Fuck. No. Okay, you probably give him the extension, but.
Petey, did you watch the NFL this season? Did you see how many bad quarterbacks played this year? Baker was a top 12 quarterback all year.
How many of those quarterbacks had Mike Evans just to throw that shit up to? Like, show me a Baker highlight reel without the Mike Evans catches, and it's subpar at best.
He turned Trey Palmer from a rookie sixth-round pick into this absolute fucking dog. Like, Trey Palmer is a legit wide receiver now. He's a guy with 4.3 speed that
– I'm not saying move on from Baker, but, like, have some expectations here.
I think my favorite part of this week was Dan Campbell talking about how much he loved Baker. Like, Dan Campbell was like, that's my kind of guy. And if you're a Dan Campbell guy, you're my kind of guy too now. I'm just going to ride with whoever that guy likes. I mean, drafted fucking Brian Branch, Jahmyr Gibbs, and Laporta. That's worked out pretty well. He didn't obviously trade for Goff, but, you know, he accepted the job knowing that Jared Goff was going to be a starting quarterback. And he said that he loved Baker because when they had draft day situations and guys were at the combine, Baker would go to their pro days and throw for them. They didn't have some backup throwing for them. He would fly back and throw for his guys. That's just the kind of person that he is. But I also think, you know, I mean, the pick at the end of the game was tough, the one to Derek Barnes. But if I'm him, like, I'm probably making that throw. I'm going to Chris Godwin against a middle linebacker. It was just a little bit off. But for the most part, I mean, fuck, like, he had pretty solid stats, did he not? 26 to 41, fucking 350 yards? Are you kidding me? Like, the dude was dealing except for the couple of picks. I would rather have him than most quarterbacks is what I'm trying to say. I'm not going to go and get Derek Carr or Jameis or one of these fourth-round rookies. I'll just hold Baker.
Would you rather have him or Fields?
Fields, because Fields is much younger.
Really?
Yes, because Fields gives you a versatility to your offense, and there's more promise, and there's more upside, where we know what Baker is, but I love what Baker is. If you're going for one game, I'd rather have Baker. But if I'm going for the future of my franchise, I'm going to take Fields.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Sense. Fair enough. I just wanted
to – Who would you rather date your sister?
I think Baker would be way more fun at, like, Thanksgivings and stuff like that. But Fields would probably treat her a little bit better. Like, if Fields goes out with her and the boys, like – You know, he's a considerate guy. He's going to make sure she's having fun. Baker's just going to be hitting beer bongs, like fucking smoking J's with Mike Evans in the section, like, ignoring her.
Watch that. Baker. Ah. That's basically how he is every time he goes out. Watch that. My name's Baker. That's Baker Mayfield.
You guys get along.
All right, Bordy, you want to transition us into the tight end draft and explain what we're doing? So we're going to be doing a draft on each of these episodes. We're doing the four of us, and then we also have an On This Day in History at the end. We'll do the tight end draft first. Bordy, do you want to explain it?
Yeah, sure. Tight end draft. We're basically going to draft tight ends, which ones we think are the cutest or have the best outfits or the prettiest shoes. And which ones are dating Taylor Swift, which ones are dating Miami girls basketball players, and just all things tight ends.
Ooh.
So the question is, Jake Ferguson. The kid
Ferguson,
from
the Cowboys,
is dating one of the Cavender twins, whatever their names are. The question is, are we doing tight ends all time? Or are we doing right now? That's the debate.
Let's do all time. Or that's my vote. Okay. Is all time.
Right now, earlier. So let's do all time.
All right, we'll do all time then, because I like that. Because, you know, it was the weekend of tight ends. Kelce was great. Kittle was great. Laporta is always great. So I just wanted to celebrate tight ends. I have the list randomizer right here. You can't see, right? Oh, all right. I have the number one overall pick. Cerrone has the second pick, and then Petey, and then Bordy, and we'll do a snake draft, and we'll do – we won't spend too much time on this. We'll try to make it like a 15-minute thing. Two or three rounds. What do you guys like?
We can do three. Three. Yeah. Three's good. Three tight ends.
All right, then I'm just going to take the most obvious pick of all time. This is the first draft that we've ever done on this show between the four of us. Obviously, we do the song drafts. Go listen to those if you haven't. I'm just going to take Gronk at the front of it. And I know it's cliche to go with, you know, probably the best one ever, but Clark made a great point in the group chat yesterday. He said, at what point, like, has there ever been a time in our lives where we've seen a tight end that is one of the 10 best tackles in the league and also one of the 10 best receivers? That's just who he was. And also, he's just a fucking party animal. He is so goddamn bad on the Fox pregame show. He's impossible to listen to. And I think people like him, but he's bad. Like, he's just a fucking idiot.
Hey, babe, Gronk's on TV again.
Like, it would be really cool if I was like an alcoholic. I'd be like, Gronk's back on the TV, babe. But I'm not. You know, I'm
going to come to my birthday party.
My dad loved that shit. He's like, you see, Gronk jumped out of an airplane.
He's just so fucking stupid. Dude, he sounds like. That's what's funny is like, you know, he's a football player. He was so stupid, but he was so good.
Yeah. Sounds like he's always rushing. It's like, Gronk, we got plenty of time. Like it sounds like he has this paragraph, like, and he needs to like spit it out so quick, and everybody's just like awkwardly, like, what the fuck is this guy doing?
The physical embodiment of CT. All right, Cerrone, you're up.
Okay, give me Jeremy Shockey. I mean, this guy.
Such a racist pick.
It's not. Listen, well, I don't know. Is you know. Religious views or, you know, racial views, but this motherfucker was insane. You want to talk about CTE? Dude, this guy's running through people, catching one-handed passes. There's that infamous play where he like runs someone over, takes his helmet off, and he, with no helmet, runs like 10 or 11 more yards down the field. With no helmet, gets like rocked by three guys, gets up, it just like screams like he's a fucking Nightwalker out of Game of Thrones. Great hair, just an absolute savage. You know that guy parties just as hard as Gronk.
Dude, he went to Miami at the time of the U. Like he was playing with all of those guys, and he was also on that rap track, like whatever they had that got leaked. And he was, I think he might have dropped the N-word on it or something. It was like really racy. Talking about like oxycodone and shit.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me at all. But, like, I mean, talk about an absolute fucking savage. We talk about, like, you know, they do those, like, funny, like, who would you date, you know, like, date your sister? That guy's last on the list of dating my sister. But, yeah, give me Jeremy Shockey at one.
This was going to have a black eye.
So I
Who would have thought, man? Fucking Jeremy Shockey going first round.
He also, I mean, not to mention, you know, yeah, there's the – you know, the crazy plays and just the insane. The guy was also nasty. Like, talk about a unit on the offense, like a guaranteed just lock of a – like, it wasn't like he was just crazy and sucked. The guy was a fucking animal. Imagine trying to tackle Jeremy Shockey. Yeah.
I love Jeremy Shockey. And his name's just so fun to say. Fucking hanging out Jeremy Shockey tonight.
Yeah. I know. Imagine – yeah, there was no way he was going to work at, like, T-Mobile with a name like Jeremy Shockey. That guy was bound to be a tight end.
Either a tight end in the NFL or selling crack. It's one of the two.
All right, say, or you get it like 12.
I'm up.
Yeah.
I'm taking fucking Tony Gonzalez, dude. The best tight end of all time, hands
down. The best tight end broadcaster by far.
He's really good.
Yeah,
he's also clears Gronk and
Tony Gonzalez.
Greg Olson's a big pile of shit. I'll jump through the phone and fight somebody if you guys draft him.
I like Greg Olson.
I bet you do.
I like Greg Olsen. I think he's good on the calls.
Oh my god, Greg Olsen's face is so fucking ugly, dude. Every time I see his face, I'm just like, oh my god.
Like, dude, I feel like Greg Olsen's pretty handsome.
That's he's kind of a good looking dude.
I was gonna say, I feel like he's
You're calling a dude with a toupee good looking.
That guy's handsome,
dude. He's
literally a toupee.
He scares me.
He went to the U as
He looks rapey, dude. He's fucking rapey, bro.
Oh, it does look like he did just do a profile on Purdy. I don't like that. Yeah, that's not good. All right. Sorry, Petey, you took Tony Gonzalez. Why did you take Tony Gonzalez? You think he's number one?
Yeah. I think he's number one, dude.
You care to expound upon that?
How in a good 15 years, you know?
He was unbelievable. I mean, like, tight end, Tony Gonzalez. That's the fucking guy, dude. I swear to God, he was
handsome as a devil.
Yeah, and handsome was devil. But he was in the league for so long, dude. He was so cold on the Chiefs. He was unbelievable.
He was the GOAT tight end before, like, Gronk and Kelsey came along.
Oh, you're giving picks away. Oh, wait.
No, I'm looking at the board here. Like, so Tony Gonzalez has 111 career total touchdowns. He's second all time behind Antonio Gates. Gronk is third at 93. Since Jimmy Graham at 89 and Kelsey at 77.
I know. Yeah, you gotta close this out. Oh, that's his name. Okay.
Where's Jeremy?
Is it my turn?
Jeremy Shockey got ass.
You were Shockey on the list?
I think my pick's pretty obvious here. Somebody I look up to. And that's the GOAT, Uncle Shannon Sharp.
Fuck you.
Oh my god, they're gonna go win.
I thought gonna go win too.
No, I'm going a little more fun. Okay. Wynn's kind of a social conservative, and Shannon Sharp is definitely a social non-conservative. And he was just a baller, you know, just two absolute missiles for arms and just would run through everybody. And
God, he's got fat.
He's probably got a meat wagon. He's got a Super Bowl with the Broncos, got a Super Bowl with the Ravens. So that's just GOAT status right there.
Great tight end, great media personality. I didn't really take into account that we're going to be doing media personalities on top of the tight end play. So I feel bad for taking Gronk at one out because he is so bad in the media. And
yeah,
Shannon
Sharp's
so fucking good.
FanDuel's kick of destiny. Like, you got some.
Yeah, what is that? That ad is so stupid. I don't remember that at all. And they're acting like it was the biggest event of 2023. The big Gronk kick. Like, I don't give a fuck about Gronk kicking a PAT. That's like something that I see in a halftime show and I forget about it 15 minutes later because fucking Beyonce's performing. Like, get the fuck out of
here. They're just letting Gronk. They're letting Gronk feel special, man. It's a fucking make-a-wish. He just doesn't know it. It's a fucking make-a-wish. Pull that up, dude, and they just fucking spin him in circles and send him out there, dude. He thinks it's a big thing, but it's fucking make-a-wish.
Oh my god.
Is that what they're doing for Terry Bradshaw and Michael Strahan too? Is that just everybody on that show?
They do the same fucking thing for those fucking guys.
Jesus Christ, Morty, you got another pick.
Oh yeah, I bet your ass I got another pick. And this guy's a fucking, he should be fighting for our country. Shout out to Cerrone Real that was doing some numbers on the IG. This guy would be prime for Belichick's army, and it's Jimmy fucking Graham. Like, an absolute touchdown machine.
He had, like, two touchdowns this year.
Yeah, he's still doing it. Like, he was catching TDs for fucking Drew Brees.
Unbelievable.
When Drew Brees had hair. Like, he's been a stud forever, and, like, I feel like he could play next year. He's like a... It's like a Kyle Rudolph type, you know? He's just never going to go away.
Yeah, at what age can he stop catching, like, goal line fades on jump balls? I mean, he's always going to be 6'8". He's always going to have those arms and those hands. But he was so...
Rudolph's still playing.
He's always going to have a mentality of a Diaz brother.
Everybody at one point has streamed Kyle Rudolph for a fantasy tight end.
Oh, yeah, 100%. 100%.
Just one random
Jimmy Graham, it's like... He was the only person I ever saw a team that would run a goal line fade from like the 25-yard line. Usually a goal line fade is like from the 3 or the 4.
And it looks like
the quarterback
the
just tosses it up nice and soft
the whole way.
It was just Jimmy a box Graham out drill. It was so
DB's
easy.
DB's head just waiting for the ball, just raping him.
Did you have these rape as the verb there? Was that really necessary? These boardy PD pods are going to get us canceled. All right. PD, you're back up.
Just I'm we need up. A cool bleep sound.
All right, I'm going Aaron Hernandez. I don't know what's so fucking funny about that. He was a stud.
He was a stud.
He was. Rest in peace.
He was a homosexual.
That's who I'm going. Okay, no hate. I'm here. No hate on Aaron Hernandez.
Convicted murderer.
He was a dog. He played at University of Florida when they were fucking sick. I think he was on the Tebow team. I'm not sure.
He was.
Don't quote me. But yeah, I'm going Aaron Hernandez, man. So. Fuck you, buddy.
Belichick would play him at running back sometimes. That's how fucking good at football he was. And then he just had to be a fucking nightmare off the field. Like a literal psychopath. That's the one thing about football players and basketball players. There's a big difference there. NBA, you know, Gilbert Arenas might bring some guns into a locker room every now and then, but it's not like he's just killing people recreationally. Aaron Hernandez, like, I don't remember exactly. I don't know if I've ever watched the docs, but not sure there's a lot of reason to be killing people. I think it was just kind of, you know, hey, I'm in Miami. What else am I going to do? And it's like anything else, dude, literally anything else. Like, just don't kill anybody and your career will still be.
Well, right. No, I think he was outside a club and someone was talking shit and then they were driving around all crazy. And then they pulled up to a stoplight and they were like revving their engines. And I think it was Aaron or his buddy, like, pulled out the fucking gun. Out these poor fuckers in their
it's
car.
Like the
I think that's
kind of it's like the Ron Burgundy scene where Will Ferrell's like, Brick killed a guy, and it's like, what? He's like, yeah, he stabbed him in the heart with a trident. It's like Belichick just comes into the locker room, he's like, Aaron killed a guy, and they're like, what? Yeah, like, yeah, he called him a fucking douchebag, so he shot
yeah,
he him.
He his engine at the stoplight. Like, all right, well, we're gonna go over that one in the offensive package, we're gonna have to make some adjustments.
So Petey's got Tony Gonzalez and Aaron Hernandez, two polar opposites of men.
Yep. You got Shannon Sharp and Jimmy Graham. Cerrone, you're back up.
God. Give me I don't want to give me Antonio Gates.
Yep.
Let's get some color in the mix here. No, that's fucked up. We're going to have to edit that out.
You already got Shannon Sharp in the mix. You're good.
I don't want to. Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah, I can't. I don't want to take, you know, it'd be too easy to take a, you know, someone playing right now. I feel like Antonio Gates played forever, too. That guy played fucking 30 seasons. And he was just an absolute baller. Talk about big body. I mean, pretty much like a Jimmy Graham, too. Never won a ring, you know, but just, yeah. Give me Antonio Gates. I like that. He's kind of a thug, too.
Didn't play football in college. Played basketball. And then just was, I'll try football, I guess, because I'm not going to make it to the NBA. Yeah, he played at Miami. He was like a power forward there. Like 6'7" power forward.
It's unbelievable.
And then he just fucking, he's like, I'm going to go to the combine because people say I'm good at boxing out. And that's pretty much just what tight ends do in the end zone.
And then just became one of the greatest tight ends of all time.
I mean, the touchdown leader all time. 118, we said? Yeah. That's gonna be really hard to catch. One of my favorite players ever. I loved him. He was kind of like the first tight end I ever watched growing up where I was like, isn't he just a receiver? Like, he wasn't like the best blocker or anything like that. And he had the chemistry with Phillip Rivers where they would freestyle all the time, like Mahomes and Kelsey do so often now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that late window of games, 3:30, when there's like three or four games, the Chargers were always on. For some reason, we were always watching the Chargers. And I was like, another fucking Antonio Gates touchdown. What a shocker.
The Chargers are such a 3:30 start time team.
His son is going to be in the NFL here in about 2 years as a wide receiver. Antonio Gates Jr., which made me feel old as fuck. So,
that's lit.
Yeah, that's coming here soon on my 26th birthday, no less. All right, I'm back up. I'm going to take my favorite Iowa tight end of all time, Dallas Clark, motherfucker.
Nice.
A forgotten piece of those Colts teams with Marvin Harrison and Reggie Wayne, Peyton Manning and Edgerrin James and Joseph Addai. Dallas Clark was the man and one of the last tight ends that didn't use gloves. He's like, I don't need fucking gloves. I'll just catch it with my calluses that are built from blocking at the University of Iowa, and I'm going to dog on people And also, I'm not wearing 85 or 80. I'm wearing number 44, motherfucker. And that's just a baller ass move. Never change, Dallas Clark.
Good for you. Good for you, man.
Oh, I got another one again. I'll take another Iowa tight end. I'll take Kittle. Can't believe he fell this far. He's just the coolest dude ever.
Yeah. Best blocking.
Another guy. Just baby
best,
Gronk.
Best stiff arm out of a tight end ever.
Yeah, he's a sicko. All tight ends are sickos.
The meme of him pancaking a dude into the end zone and just pile driving him and then laughing hysterically, that's the most football thing I've ever seen. Like,
Who did
Kittle.
That?
There was a clip, I think it's from 2 years ago. He literally drives a safety from like the 6 yard line to the back of the end zone and then tumbles over him. And then he's laying on the ground and he's just cackling. No offense to Kelsey. We love Kelsey. He would never do that. Not a chance.
No, Kittle's got some screws loose for sure.
I honestly wouldn't be surprised if we see sometime in the news in the next few years, George Kittle axe murder. He looks like one of the fucking kill someone. The goddamn axe. He looks so sick in the head. Dude, he's like always looking at the cameras and shit with his eyes. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if he fucking kills a family before with an axe.
You're kidding, right? Because he's like a funny sweetheart from Iowa.
No, I'm fucking around, obviously, but like he kind of looks like he's a little fucked up.
So you're 10% serious.
His haircut too, like the Sons of Anarchy haircut, where it's shaved on the sides and just really long blonde hair.
Sons of Anarchy.
He's just a cornbread motherfucker.
Go Hawks! All right, Cerrone, you're back up.
Ooh. I'll take Kelsey. All the bullshit aside, guy catches two tutties tonight. Him, the Super Bowl years, unfucking touchable. Just running around, going crazy. Yeah, he's got Mahomes, but the guy just makes it happen every time he touches the ball. It's nuts. Bad year, rough year.
He was so cool until this year.
He was. He sold out. You can't blame the guy though. I mean, dude, if you're gonna, the Pfizer thing's pretty bad. But I'm gonna date Taylor Swift 10 out of 10 times. You put a baby in that girl, put a ring on her. That literally your whole life, your whole kids, grand, everything. You're finished. You just won the game of life if you just fucking put a baby in her. But off the field stuff aside, I mean, come on. The guy's unbelievable. And at the three hole, Travis Kelce, I'll take it. Jeremy Shockey at the one. That's a good little group I got going on. It's a fun little, that'd be a good foursome of golf. Me, Jeremy Shockey, Kelce, and Antonio Gates. I mean, God, that would be eventful. But I'm proud.
All right, Petey, you're back up.
Okay, honestly, just give me Laporta, man. I want him now. Give me the rookie. I get everything he has to come. I mean, he literally has the most receptions of all time for a rookie tight end. So if I'm taking him right now and I get however many years he's got in the league, like, what are you guys gonna go do? You gonna go watch Jeremy Shockey this upcoming Sunday? No, fuck you.
I'll watch his highlights.
I'm gonna go watch Sam.
I should have took Mark Andrews.
I have a question about Laporta. Kelce, it became kind of a staple in fantasy drafts the last couple of years, where if you got Kelce, like, you were at least going to be top four in your league because you were so much better at that position, tight end position, than everybody else. And so we started going like the second and third round. PD, I think you took him in the first round this year. A lot of people took him in the first round the last few years. What round is Laporta going to be going in fantasy drafts next year? Like, is he a top three, top four round guy where you're like, just give me that guy. He's going to get 1,200 yards every year and 13 touchdowns.
He could definitely be a fringe too, like as early as next year.
Yeah, he's the next coming of Kelce.
It takes a while to get to that first round level. Like, how many other tight ends have been? Gronk was a first round tight end. Kelce, that's the only two we've really seen. Maybe back in the day, people would take Antonio Gates first round, but Laporta showed a lot of consistency this year, but a lot of options of that Lions offense. I wouldn't take him in the second round, honestly.
That's what I was gonna say. Detroit, there's a lot of mouths to feed.
Like you get Njoku in the seventh round, like I'll pick some value in the second opposed to tight end.
You're taking Njoku with your last pick then, Bordy?
Yeah, it's either him or the OG Njoku, Vernon Davis.
Ooh, yeah. I love that. That's a good one.
Since it's the last pick, I just take both of them because we can't snub one of them.
Yeah, you can have Vernon Davis and David Njoku.
No, he doesn't just get both. He doesn't
get
both of them.
Yeah, I get both. They got the same hair.
He just gets both of them?
Same haircut rule.
Vernon Davis is unfucking believable. I always thought he's a wide receiver. So goddamn.
Yeah, dude. Like,
who the fuck is that, dude?
He was always just making the most unreal plays. Like, his highlight tape goes fucking nuts.
Oh, I convinced myself that he was the best player in the league for like 3 years. I was like, he's going number one in a redraft. Like, we're taking Vernon Davis.
Most fun to watch, for sure.
Perfectly sculpted body. Just a pleasure.
Who was throwing to him? Was that Jimmy G? Or was that Kaepernick?
It was Alex Smith. Kaepernick. He had a whole mess of quarterbacks.
All right, but real question is, who looks a brand newborn baby right in the face and says, you're Vernon? I mean, what the fuck? What the fucking kind of psycho?
And his brother's name or cousin's name is Vontae. Like, it's Vontae and Vernon. Like, the whitest name and the blackest name ever. Like, we're just – I posted that story of that kid this weekend. I was like, 2016, man. I was, you know, at the frat house just getting absolutely stoned out of my mind, getting drunk as hell. Fast forward 7 years later, I'm coaching a kid who was born the same year that I was doing all of that, and his name is Frank. Like, his parents named him Frank in the year 2016. He's seven. Do you know how fucking unserious you have to be to look at a 7 year old in the face and call him Frank? I'm like, dude, what the fuck am I doing?
That's hilarious.
He's so funny. All right, on this day in history, Bordy, did you have anything supplied? Because I do. I have one for my birthday. That's not related to my birthday, obviously. That I love. It's like one of my favorite things.
I got one that I love too. I got one. I'm really excited to talk about and hear your guys' thoughts on. On this day in history, 1970-something, Roe v. Wade was enacted, and women were given the right to abort children, or babies, fetuses, on birthday.
On my birthday. And my mom is an uber Catholic, like the most Catholic person you'll ever meet in your life. She always says that it's a miracle that I was born on the same day as Roe v. Wade being enacted, because...
And she's right. It was a miracle. Sweet though.
She loved because me so much.
She was on the borderline of, you know, flushing you down the drain. Was that your saving grace?
She's like so anti-abortion, and she's just always, I'm like, Mom, how is that a miracle? Like, if anything, it's like the opposite, where it's like, that's kind of a sad fact. I don't think we want to, you know, with like the political campaigns that are be going on this year, I'm not sure if we want to touch on that as much. Let's do a more fun one. I got a more fun one for you, Bordy.
No, let's do it. Hey, Cerrone, is abortion okay or not? Bordy, live your neck. Is it okay or not? Let's do it. Let's just fucking do it. Fuck it.
Yeah.
Everyone's scared these
days. Yeah.
I'm fucking around.
I mean, it's okay.
I'd say yes.
But there's got to be a huge, like, weight that bears on you, you know?
Yeah, you know what's, we know what's more than that weight? The weight of a newborn child going to college. And that financial price tag. That's why you married Taylor Swift. That's why you put a baby in T Swift.
Nobody's going to college again.
That's why you name it Vernon, so he doesn't have to go to college.
That's true.
He just goes the
other way. Or you drop him as a baby and he ends up being Jeremy Shockey, just running through people with no helmet. So you know what? Yeah, no abortion. Let's let them all prosper and live.
No comment. All right, this on this day in history, January 22nd, 2006, Kobe Bryant scored 81 points against the Toronto Raptors.
Ooh.
It was the day I turned 8 years old, and I remember, you know, Petey and I would watch SportsCenter in the morning. I think this is like around the exact same time that we made the transition from watching Yu-Gi-Oh! In the morning before school to SportsCenter. It was like when I was like in third grade when I started getting into basketball. We watched Yu-Gi-Oh! Or Digimon or some fucking bullshit. And then we're like, you know what? We're sports guys now. And Petey was like, yeah, we're sports guys. And I remember seeing the Kobe highlights, and I was like, holy shit. Like, that's a lot of points. But I didn't realize when I was 8 years old that that's – I mean, Wilt has 100, I guess. Nobody has any photo evidence of it. But, like, 81 points, if that happened tomorrow, let's say Giannis scores 82 points in an NBA game, that's all I'm talking about for the next month. Like, that's it. Like, it's holy shit. He made 35 field goals, and he was, like, 35 of 50 from the field. Rest in peace, Kobe, one of my favorite players ever to watch. Just the GOAT. Love him to death. I think he's massively underrated still, which is a crime. And, yeah, the fact that my birthday coincides with that, I'm very lucky.
We all are.
Fair enough.
To be graced.
What's below
– birthday.
Yeah. What is the second – who's behind 81? Who's behind Kobe?
There's with 80, or, a few guys that have gotten 70. Devin Booker got 70 a few Booker, years ago.
Donovan Mitchell.
He got 70?
He's up there.
Or, yeah, 60-something.
I think he's up.
I remember that. I do.
I think he may have dropped 70, to be honest.
How come LeBron can't do that, Mr. Goat?
Oh,
his,
boy.
His record is 61 for his personal record. And he did that in the mask against Charlotte.
It's not even that much.
You're like, Hedo Turkoglu could have done that. All right, let's pull it up right here. I got the list. Will at 100.
Yeah, bullshit. He just took that fucking picture. Lying his fucking ass off.
I think if there's any player
fucking photoshopped.
If you were to take one player to break 81, who would you?
Yeah, Donovan Mitchell.
Oh yeah, 71. I feel like this is a hot take. One, I feel like Luka could do it. If there's one person, it'd be Luka, just to put up 80.
No, I agree. I agree. Definitely. He's unguardable.
So Wilt scored 70, what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times. That's insane.
Yeah, that's got to be
casually.
Didn't D-Book have like a light 50 just the other night?
Yeah, and 3/4. And Damian Lillard also scored 71 last year. Damn, two guys scored 71 last year in Mitchell and Lillard. David Robinson scored 71. He also has one of the only quadruple doubles of all time. Elgin Baylor, 71. David Thompson, Skywalker on the Nuggets. Fun fact, one of my clients was friends with David Thompson in Denver in the 80s, and he said they partied together. And if you know anything about the NBA in the 1980s, you know what partying means. Cocaine.
Okay.
So that's fun. But yeah, Kobe, 81. And yeah, I think Luke is probably the first pick to get 80. Second pick, I'd probably go, if he gets hot on the right night, Sadiq Bey. Or Paolo Banchero, one of those guys. Tyler Hero.
Definitely right. Wemby. Like, if I was in Wemby's body, I feel like I could put up 80.
I'll bet you this right now, Bordy, and this is a 20-year bet that we can make. Wemby will never pass LeBron's career high for points. He'll never score more than 60 in a game.
Oh. Yeah, I don't want to put
a 13-year gamble.
I don't want you coming back to me when Wemby retires in 20 years. Like, where's my $5?
Man, you said you'd give me a slice of pizza.
Yeah, but. You know, Wemby's going for 61 like next week, bro.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's easily going to beat that shit.
Did you guys see the graphic that I sent you that he's literally the worst 3-point shooter in the league right now?
Like, yeah, but that's like. There's 5% difference between the worst and the best. Like, one of the best is Norman Powell. Are you kidding me? You're going to try to convince me that fucking Norman Powell's good? That guy.
There's like an 11% difference between the two. And 11% is huge when it comes to 3-point percentage when you consider the volume of the attempts.
I've seen Norman Powell play, right, with my own two eyes, and he's fucking dog shit. You're not going to
convince me. This is my best angle. This is the best angle that I have right now is that Wemby is – like, you guys are so pro-Wemby, and I just love just antagonizing you and being like, he's not even that fucking good right now.
Well, I could do the same thing with Chet, you fucking dick-loving Chet lover.
Viv, he's 8'3", and he's shooting floater three-pointers. Shut the fuck up.
He's literally –
8'3" is just such an unbelievable thing to say.
He looks like Cerrone on like a small pong table. He's trying to shoot a three, like, yeah, he's like really close to it. You can see right down into it, but it's just he's too big for it.
PD does that all the time where he just like massively overrates like Zach. He's like 8'5". We said that this weekend to some kids, like when they're missing a lot of layups, you're not actually keeping track of how many layups they missed. Like your coaches probably did this to you growing up. They're like, guys, we've missed 17 layups this half. They're making that number up. They're not keeping track of it, right? So I go to my kids this weekend at halftime. I'm like, guys, we've missed 652 layups. Like we have to start converting some of these. And they're looking around. They're like, wait, what? Have we really missed 652 layups?
Like shit, we've been balling. Get in the paint.
You're a fucking.
All right, this has been great. Man. Thank you guys for joining. Yeah, great weekend of NFL football. You know, Cerrone's obviously very happy. Bordy's obviously on the Jared Goff train, and Petey's still got a sideways hat on. We will be back with this crew again next week, same time, breaking down the conference championship. Really excited for that. Bordy, Petey, thank you. Cerrone, I will see you in a couple days. We'll be with Reesburg and Turner. But for now, we love you guys. We will see you on the other side. Thank you for listening. Share it with a friend. Follow the page. All that good stuff. Peace out.